Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. Thank you for joining us as we continue our study of the Book of Proverbs. Please follow us on Blog Talk Radio by clicking Follow Us on the BTR screen and, of course, share the broadcast link with others. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
You know, it's just great to be with everybody tonight, and as always, a blessing to be able to have this time of Bible study and an opportunity to praise God. And so whatever time you're listening to Ask the Pastor Now, I want to thank you for joining us. You know, it's interesting. I was speaking with a volunteer this morning, and we got to talking about GPS. Now, most people think of GPS as Global Positioning System. That's that wonderful little device you may have in your car that helps you get from point A to point B, or if you haven't updated your maps, it helps you get from point A to point C when you were trying for B. In other words, you may be going up an alley when you thought you were at the department store. But I think we'll approach it from a slightly different approach, and we'll think in terms of GPS as God positions saints. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at it, because sometimes we wonder as Christians, why are we where we're at? Why does it seem like, you know, we have our plans and we just know that this is, we were trying to walk in the will of God, and this is where we just knew God wanted us to be on vacation this week and to be at some pleasant resort, when instead we're back in the office working or we're doing chores around the house, and you know, it was not on our prime list. But I believe that it's true. GPS, God does position saints. In other words, He's got a place for you. And one of our goals in life is just to find that place and to serve Him and to honor Him with our lives. So if maybe this week you've been feeling a little frustrated by the work you were trying to accomplish versus the work you wound up doing, don't be frustrated. Realize it may be the very thing that God had in mind for you. Jimmy, ever had those times where you had your plan and suddenly you find yourself, it seems like almost in the opposite direction, and yet God uses it?
Actually, Pastor, it reminds me of a friend of mine who said, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. Yeah, it seems like whenever I've got it all laid out, everything is perfect, just the way it should be, I get a curveball, high and inside. You know what I'm saying? So,
way too true.
Yeah.
Way too true. So, let us then, you know, not get frustrated. Believers, do not be discouraged or frustrated. Just because things are going totally different from your plan A, realize that maybe B was God's plan A. And wherever you find yourself, do your best to do it to the glory of God. And so, Jim, why don't you get us started the right way, the best of ways, by opening us in prayer at this time as we begin.
Heavenly Father, what an opportunity we have, what a privilege we have, Father, to come to You in time of need, in time of want, in time of frustration and aggravation and heartache. Lord, we especially want to remember the First Baptist Church in New Braunfelsville. I think there were 14 lives lost in a traffic accident, Father. I was thinking about it this afternoon, Father, and it just comforted me to think that one moment we're in a bus, we're having fun, fellowship, and the next moment we're in Your presence in heaven, where there is no more pain, nothing but excitement and happiness and serving You. So, Father, we want to remember their families, their friends, tremendous shock in that small community, a great loss of life. But, Father, all of us who have stepped out in faith and accepted Jesus knows that absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, tonight we ask you for wisdom. Wisdom for our leadership, for each of us to step up and stand for our faith in Christ. We pray, Father, that you would superintend this program. May the words that Pastor Lyons delivers be exactly what you'd have him deliver. May it land on fertile ground. May there be someone out there tonight that's saying, I want to make a decision for Christ Jesus. I want to step out in faith and accept Jesus Christ. And when they do that, they can never lose their salvation. They are eternally saved. Their destiny and their destination determined forever. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, our Messiah, our Christ, our Lord's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The best thing that ever happened to you in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation, and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust you will find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, his resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.askthepastornow.com. That's www.askthepastornow.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
Tonight, as we get together to come back to His Word, you know, we've been studying, as you've probably already seen in the title area, to know, to receive, to give. And that's our theme for looking at the Proverbs. And the reason we feel like that's the right pattern is because that's the way the Scripture lays out. It tells us something that we can know about the way to live our lives to honor God. But it requires that we receive His instruction, His wisdom. And then finally, then, to give forward, moving forward. We're not talking about giving dollars and cents. We're talking about giving of our lives, following Him, being faithful to Him. So to know what He wants, to receive His instruction, and then to give the response that would honor God. And we've been doing this for some time. And this particular week we pick up in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, which begins with a statement, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And some wonderful words there to consider. That word substance, for example, refers to our wealth, our riches, those things of high value that God has blessed us with. Those first fruits, I think it was interesting. Sometimes we fall into that label and we say, all right, we give them the 10%. We tithe. That's what we do. And what's interesting in that little word, the first fruits, it's the beginning, it's the best, it's the choice part. Think of it this way. If you had a garden and you wanted to give 10% to God, ask yourself this question. Would you sort of look over the vegetables you just grew and say, well, you know those string beans right there in the very back, they didn't get a lot of sunlight. They didn't grow too good. That looks about like 10% of the green beans. I'll pull those. Those are God's. You know, look over here. I've got some nice tomatoes over here except for those that the worms got too. And funny thing is, it looks like about 10% of the worms got, you know, 10% of the tomatoes. That's a shame that it was God's tomatoes too. And so he pulled them out. You know, it's not just grabbing the first 10%, it's grabbing the best 10%. It's the choice part. So I think one of the ways, Jim, I think that can translate for us today is, let's start with time, for example. You know, when we give God our time, do we give Him our worst time? You know, I think of it like this. You know, maybe you sleep in Saturday morning, and you're fully energized, you've got plenty of rest, you're ready to attack the day because you got Saturday off. And so you're going to go, and whether you got plans around the house or whether you're going into town, whether you've got picnics planned or going to games, whatever it might be, you are determined to burn the candle at both ends. And you don't stop till it's late, late, late,
mm-hmm.
and come crawling back in. Now, come Sunday morning, you're doing the worst thing you could possibly do. You ask your family, well, do you think we should go in today? You know, we're not really doing that good. We're not feeling well. Now, you know, that was never even on the table back on Saturday about whether you're going to get up and do stuff. You just jumped out, hit the floor, took off running. For some reason, we actually entertain the question Sunday mornings, are we or are we not? And here's the other thing. Come Sunday morning, are we burnt out because we stayed up late Saturday night? Now, we made sure we were rested to burn Saturday with vigor and vitality. But for some reason, it's okay to burn out when it's time to honor God. To me, part of the first fruits of time would be to give God well-rested time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people who love to read their Bibles, and that's wonderful. But do you do it when you're awake and you're focused on Him? Or do you do it when you're making your little checklist of things to do for the day? So really your mind is running 100 things of what I have to accomplish today, while you sort of in the back of your head, you're reading the scripture and not really taking it in. Or do you wait until you crawl up into bed and you're about to fall asleep and you barely keep your eyes open? Oh, I forgot to read my Bible today. Let me read a couple of verses. And, you know, you practically fall asleep doing it. You see, the choice part of your time is when your energy is at the best. So I think a valid question to ask as believers is, are we giving Him the first fruits of our substance? And think of it this way, if our first fruits is not the leftovers, the part that the worms got to, maybe that means we need to shift our schedule around just a little bit. And so, Jim, what are your thoughts on how do we capture the first fruits of all of our energies?
Well, I like this. This is a great lesson because you think of, I forgot to say my prayers just before you doze off, and it's kind of you go to sleep right in mid-sentence. But we've said this before, we turn to Jesus and remember how He did things as our example. You remember before it was even light, He went out to meet with His Heavenly Father. And that's what we should all do. And I think that's one of the reasons, that's the first thing. Well, that's about the third thing. I fix coffee and V8 before I get alone with my Bible. But I just love doing that first thing because in my mind, it sets the stage for the day. I'm telling God how much I love Him. I'm telling Him I need His help because I know it's warfare. And we need to be reminded of that. We think of the positive things in a day and we don't remember we're in warfare. That's why things don't go right.
That's
is
true.
Because Satan's going to do everything he can to thwart our plans. So part of my prayers in the morning and my Bible study is to be prepared so that God can insulate me from Satan, what he's going to throw. He can absolutely love me. He can admonish me. He can teach me. And so after 45 minutes or an hour in the Word, I'm fortified. I'm stronger. And it's amazing how what I read that morning, something will happen during the day that I'll recall that scripture. Does that happen to you, Pastor?
Oh, yes. It always amazes me that the scriptures I need are the scriptures I read in the morning. It always amazes me. It's, you know, it's hard to believe, but maybe God knew what I was going to need. And whether I'm doing it, you know, methodically, like reading through a particular book of the Bible, or whether I am saying, well, this morning I'm really looking for verses on the word faith. And, you know, why I picked the word faith, I don't know, but, you know, that's what I looked at for that morning. And it seems like I will be bombarded with questions or issues of faith throughout the day. And for me, by the way, that is something I do from time to time. I'll be reading through a book, but as a break, what I'll sometimes do is I'll pull up a concordance, whether I do it online or do it with a physical concordance book, and just pick a particular word, and then I want all the verses God has on that word. So all the words where Scripture was talking about faith, or all the times Scripture talked about healing, or, you know, love, or whatever the word might be. it's rather interesting sometimes because you start to get sort of this tone of what God does in people's lives with regard to faith or growth or patience, whatever it might be. So that's just one more way to do Bible study. But what we talked about as we first began about this to know, to receive, to give, this one sentence, these two verses, is a great example of that. To know, well, what we know is if we honor the Lord with substance and with our first fruits of all of our increase, then what we find out is that He'll make our barns filled with plenty and the presses will be bursting out with this abundance. So, in other words, it's a promise that if we put Him first, God can bless us in a number one way. It's wonderful. But that's what we mean by that to know, to receive, to give. You see, by knowing what God has promised, we received, and because we receive, we will act on it, and we choose to give God trust. Because when we say we know what this is God's promise, but we don't do it, what we're saying is we don't trust Him. That's not an easy thing to get a hold of as a believer sometimes, because we would always say we trust God, we believe God, but a lot of times we can just back up and look at what we're doing, whether that's not reading His Word or reading it but then not acting on it. That's a real good testimony as to whether or not we choose to give God our trust. It's amazing, we trust Him with our salvation, but we don't always trust Him with our afternoon or the meeting we're going to or the time we're going to spend with our family. Why is it we have such a hard time making the transitional jump from I will trust Him with what I can't even see out in eternity, but I can't trust Him with this part I can see this afternoon? So that, for a lot of people, I think is a growth point. It's something we have to work at and be careful of. This next sentence, in fact, is verses 11 and 12. Jim, would you read those two verses and share from, as you look at it, what do you think God's trying to tell us there?
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Well, Pastor, I feel that God is demanding perfection and excellence and righteousness. That's what He's demanding. He doesn't get it from me, but he expects me to want the same things He wants. I have a chore that I hate doing around the house, and that's painting anything, because I can see every little flaw, both the ones that were there before, and then when I finish doing my masterpiece painting, I see all the mistakes. And I just feel like this scripture is saying, I want you to be Christ-like, and I'm going to teach you along the way, and please, expect it. I am going to do it because I love you that much. I look at it as a way of Him expressing, Him being God, expressing His love for me. He doesn't want me down in the pit. He wants me on high ground, being an example, the salt and the light. And guess who benefits? I do. That's a wonderful thing, to be corrected to perfection instead of corrected just because you are weak or something. So it's a wonderful way to say, son, I love you.
Oh, that is great. I like that. You know, two little caveats I would add to that. One is, you use that statement about God wants us in perfection, and we're saying that it's so hard to go towards perfection. Let me remind you that in the New Testament, especially, when we find the word perfect, when we're told to become perfect, interesting thing about that word, it literally means whole. And so I think we obsess about, I can't seem to be perfect, I'm going to have stumbling blocks. And what we're missing is that what God wants is for us to be whole, complete in Him.
Good.
And so that's the first thing. Realize, don't become frustrated because you haven't achieved some kind of sinless perfection. Remember that in the eyes of God, you are perfect, because in the eyes of God, He sees you through the blood of Christ. And when we do fall short and we don't get it perfect, don't beat ourselves up. Immediately go to Jesus, 1 John 1:9. Confess our sins and know that He will love and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not His desire to push us away. It's His desire to bring us closer to Him. He went to the cross so that we could walk with Him eternally. And He puts this provision in there so that we can perpetually be getting cleaner and closer to Him and walking with Him. So focus less on, I have to have this sinless perfection thing, and focus more on, I want to be whole. And part of being whole means I'm going to know His word better. Every day I'm going to spend some time there. And I'm going to treat other Christians with respect and honor and help them to grow. And maybe when I hear some kind of a rumor, I'm going to start by believing it's untrue until I see it for myself, because if you love somebody, you give them the benefit of the doubt. And this is family we're talking about in the body of Christ. And I think that's important to understand. I also like the fact in verse 12, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Yeah, I always am mindful of when you're out in a crowd and stores and hustle and bustle, and you've got some child that you're just so thankful from the depths of your heart that when they go home this evening, it won't be to your house because of the way they're behaving, totally out of control, you know. And think about it. You're not going over there and correcting them. And the reason you're not correcting them is because it's not your child, say. It's despite of the fact that apparently their parents are not doing it either. But whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. And you see, that's the thing. You know, if I'm getting the occasional spiritual spanking and being taken back and said, "This is where you need to be, son," it's because God loves me. And so, again, don't feel like something's gone terribly, terribly wrong when you feel like God is having to correct you and bring you back in line. Be thankful. Not that you got off course, but that He loves you enough to bring you back on course. Spend our days trying to find out, "Lord, just where You want me to be, because that's where I want to be." See, we tend to get off course pretty easy. But the more time we spend with Him, the more we begin to get an insight as to what He can do. Real beautiful thing about that is sometimes He gets you into the position where you can lead somebody else to Christ, or He gets you into a position where you're able to minister to somebody who's hurting, another brother or sister in Christ. You know, that takes me back to what we talked about earlier on about that, you know, the GPS. Sometimes if we can just make it our goal for the day to walk where He wants us to walk, then that's going to be a pretty special place. Because wherever that place is, God can use us there. Maybe to grow, or maybe to touch someone else in their life. I don't know if, Jim, if you've ever heard this song. This is sort of almost, I feel like you have to get back into the Wayback Machine to hear this song. But years ago, there was a classical piece done, "I Walk Today Where Jesus Walked." Very, very powerful piece of music. It's what we could refer to as sacred music. And I remember on occasion, my oldest brother sang that song in church. He was in the Air Force at the time and was just getting ready to be shipped out and was going to be away from us for a year. And it was hard to have that separation time. But I thought it was interesting. He got up and sang that song. The song talks about, you know, walking there in Jerusalem in the Holy Land. Well, he wasn't going to the Holy Land by any means. He was going to another opposite extreme of the weather and climate and all those things. But what for him was a strong reminder is wherever he was going to be, he wanted to walk for God. And that was a very powerful time in his life, and I still remember to this day him singing that song. And I think that's important for us to understand and to remember that that's a good lesson for all of us today, that wherever we walk, whatever we do, let's walk where we feel like God is leading, where God is walking with us. And I think that's important. That's a very strong and strengthening point. You know, got three next sentences coming up, verses 13, 14, and 15. So if you'd like to be happy, I think most people would like to be happy.
Yeah.
But here's a clue to it. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So, first rule of being happy, find wisdom. Jim, do you recall where do we find wisdom? How do we obtain wisdom?
Well, the Bible says, and I think it was in the book of James, he actually said, if you lack wisdom, boy, if I missed this one, that would be bad, wouldn't it? If you lack wisdom, simply ask for wisdom, and he'll give it abundantly. And I like that thought,
yeah.
Abundantly. I just think that...
Do you remember the other phrase? One more phrase in that verse, very important. He giveth to us abundantly, and he upbraideth not.
Oh,
meaning,
yeah.
Have you ever been around somebody, and you want to learn from them, and you ask them, and they put you down because you don't know it?
Oh, yeah.
They sort of ridicule you, like, oh, don't you know that? And, you know, well, I wouldn't have been asking if I knew, you know. But what God says in James is that, and upbraideth not. In other words, God says, if you want wisdom, come, ask for it, I'll give it to you. And I'm not going to ridicule you because you didn't have it to start with. I want you to have it. I love you, son. Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah.
I love that verse.
Yeah.
Because of that. I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. So you know how to get it. You just ask. And the man that getteth understanding. So in other words, you got reason to celebrate. You're building this wonderful relationship with God. You're growing smarter, wiser, better understanding as you look around things. And you know, that's the other funny thing I've noticed over the years. The more I read the scripture, the more other things seem to make a little more sense. You know, here's a great one in verse 14, the merchandise of it. In other words, the what you get a tangible hold of, it's better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof fine gold. In other words, this stuff that we make such high value on here on earth, that doesn't, probably ain't going to hang around that long. You know, there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, so, you know, those golden statues people want, they're going to be gone. That new TV set, that wide super screen, that, you know, whatever the latest, you know, 4K edition that pops out, guess what? There'll come a time when that will pale in comparison to the vision that God can give you. You know, 2020 will be shabby in a glorified body.
So
the merchandise of God's wisdom and understanding just off the chart. What you got?
Pastor, you reminded me, and I'm looking back. You remember chapter 2, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh mm-hmm. knowledge and understanding. And he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, when I read that just now as you were talking, I wonder when he says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. In other words, there's more there for me to come back to. Is that the way to read that? And then he goes on, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And we didn't have time last week, but I wanted to ask you, isn't that a shield of some sort?
As I understand it, it's basically the buckler is what's like holding pieces together.
Okay.
So in other words, like as you're strapping these things on, the buckler is holding it intact on you. So if you've got this armor on you, you know, it's not jostling around or about to fall off, so suddenly you get hit by something and you've got no protection.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's making it solid consistently in the right place.
And layeth up. And when he says he layeth up sound wisdom, am I interpreting that correctly? There's more than I've even asked for, or I can come back and get more because he's laid it up for me. Is that the way to read it?
And also realize it, not only that, but it will be there when, as you said, when you need it.
Mm.
So in other words, we panic sometimes if we don't see it right there, right that moment.
Right.
But God has this reserve just ready to pour into your life when you need it the most. So I think that's important to understand. You know, when you have a teenager and they're getting ready to first start handling funds and, you know, handling more independent decisions, do you look at it and say, well, I know over the high school period I'm probably going to spend this much money or give them this much cash to operate with, so I'll just give them all of that, you know, when they first turn 13.
No.
Does that sound like a good plan?
No, no, no.
No. Would it be gone before 13 and a half? Is that what will probably happen?
We'd be having hovercraft and all these gizmos all around.
They'd have
you'd buy it all up.
Good time for a while,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's it. We're the same way. I mean, we think that would be ridiculous to do to a child, but spiritually, we're still growing, folks. We have that child, maybe adolescent image, or maybe we're getting a little more mature, but the reality is God puts that energy, that wisdom, that storehouse. Doesn't mean he sets it out there for us to start spending today, because God knows we're going to need it at a later time. And I think that's why, you know, we always talk about God's never early, but he's always right on time. I think what he's pouring into us to develop us for a moment in time, he's always in the process of. You know, we don't see it, we don't always even appreciate it, but at the right moment, it'll suddenly make so much sense. I've been amazed over the years, times that I wound up taking training or going through some unusual experience where I wound up learning a skill set. And at the time, I wondered, why? Why am I having to go through? And I know I have cried out to God in frustration and exhaustion at the end of a day. Say, oh, God, why do I have to go? Why can't you move me? Why do I have to be here right here at this time? And I know I complained. And I know it was wrong in retrospect. Because as time went by, I suddenly found, like, boy, I think of the lesson I learned going through that. Or here was a skill set that I said, why would I even need to know that? Suddenly, I'm using it. I'm using it on an ongoing basis. You know, it's amazing. The things that God will teach you at one point in your life, and it may be 5, 10, 15 years down the road, suddenly, boom, you need to know everything you know at that moment, plus all that stuff you were learning along the way. Maybe it's because you have to do it. Maybe it's because you've got people you're leading, and you need to have that well indoctrinated in your head so you know, yeah, they're doing it right, or I could help them become a little more efficient over in this one area. So don't be frustrated when you're going through stuff or having to learn something that you just wonder why. Because if you probably knew the responsibility or the trust God was going to put you in further down the road, it would scare you. You know, I look sometimes and I'm thinking, how could I ever do something, and how could God ever put this in my path? And then I realize it's okay, because he either develops me to there or he'll bring other people into the play. But at the end of the day, I've learned if God has got me doing something, then it's okay, because I wasn't doing it in my strength. I wasn't running off in my own little plan and I'm flying solo. No, he's in the plan. When you learn that, you will learn how valuable wisdom is, how valuable the understanding is. Look at verse 15 there. She, referring to all this wisdom and understanding, it's more precious than rubies. All the things you can desire cannot be compared to her. That is so true. I have learned over the years, what God teaches you has so much greater value than anything that you're going to find in this world. Jim, would you agree with that? What you get from God is so much greater.
Well, I can look back, Pastor. As I've shared with you before, there are times that I didn't think God was listening. I didn't think, you know, he didn't see the emergency. To me, it was emergency. I need that job. I need this promotion. I need this. I need that. And God didn't get excited. And I can't help but remember, I think it was the, you know, we were studying Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and Jesus took his time getting there. And Martha and Mary upbraided him and said, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And if you'd have asked them then, what is all this about? I wanted him to stay up. Now he raised him from the dead, and it was even greater than Mary or Martha could imagine. And I think that's the way it is in my life. I look back over some things and I love thinking this. Oh, I see what you are up to there, Father. I get it now. And it makes perfect sense. How You know, it's called armchair quarterback. I'm always better at calling plays after the game is over and I go back and look at it. So that's the way I look at this, and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful because if I had to pick a CEO of my life, don't you want it to be somebody that is limitless, somebody that designed it all so he knows how it works and he knows what to do, when to do, and how to do? And so I think it's just a wonderful relationship that God offers us is, trust me. But, you know, Pastor, the world keeps telling us, you got to do it in your own strength. You got to build a big 401k, a big house, a big car, on and on and on. You got to be the big man at the office. Well, Jesus taught us just the opposite, didn't he? So I think it's wonderful, and I have a great deal of comfort because when times are trying, and as soon as they're not trying, just stand by, it will be again. So when those times come, what I've tried to condition my mind to remember is God's up to something. He loves us. He's not going to leave us out there tethered as we float away from the space capsule, you know, never to be retrieved. He's up to something. So I think that's such a great encouragement to folks. They may be out of a job, may be out of funds, may be out of a home, a divorce, health issues, he's up to something. If you can keep that in mind, there'll be a day we can look back and say, I get it. Now I see it.
That's so true. You know, as you were describing that, I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Apollo 13 that had the damage on board? And
yes.
Basically, their aircraft became their spaceship became really a lifeboat to get them back to Earth.
Right.
So I've got my right one, Apollo 13.
Yes.
I remember if you saw the movie, there was an interesting scene in there where they had to, the engineers down here on Earth had to come up with a way for them to build a device that could filter or scrub the air that was up there because it was getting too much carbon dioxide. And I remember this great scene where all these engineers are standing around a table and this guy comes in with this box and dumps all the parts out onto the table. He says, this is what they've got on board. You need to build something so they can build this filter.
Oh, yeah.
And so they start working with all those pieces, and they came up with a way you could do it and, you know, figured out how you could tape it together and blah, blah, blah. The thing that struck me about that is all those parts were already on board. You know, maybe they had a different purpose when they packed up for the trip, but now that they had this emergency going on, those things that were designed for something else got yanked out, thrown on a table, and said, all right, let's see what we can build with this to get us through this life-saving moment. Your life is like that.
That's good.
There's all these parts that you're dragging through, and you're wondering, why did God even give me this thing? Why do I have to carry this through life? There's going to come a time, I thoroughly believe, when if you're faithful to God, you're going to find yourself in a spot where you will be so thankful that you've got parts to throw out on that table for the life-saving moment. It may not even be your life that you're saving. It could be somebody else. Something you've experienced and you've been carrying with you will cause them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you would have never been able to communicate the gospel as effectively if you hadn't been carrying that thing with you. So never consider these things burdens. Consider them, these are part of my emergency. These are my EDC, my everyday carry kit that I have to have with me, because God's given it to me for a special purpose. There's something going on. I don't know, but I know that God does.
Yes.
And when it's the right time, these things are going to be valuable, and I'm going to be mighty thankful they're there to throw out on the table. Now, in fact, Jim, why don't you jump in with 16, 17, and 18, and again, take that first wave. What do you see?
First, let me tell you, that was a great analogy. I remember that scene, and you're exactly right. I remember he threw those parts out and told those engineers, we got some guys to get home. Give us a tool that'll work. And what a great
Absolutely.
Analogy, Pastor. All right, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wow, powerful.
And Jim, before you jump in there, remember, the her we're talking about is that wisdom and understanding.
Right, right.
So in light of that, what does this say?
Yeah, I would say, number one, in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. In other words, you'll live longer. And her left hand, riches and honor. Mm-hmm. You will have riches and honor, perhaps not like you and I think about day to day, but riches. And I think of wisdom as being, you know, if you just know what to do, if you have wisdom. And a word I haven't seen come up recently, but I have seen it along the lines of wisdom, is discernment, being able to make the right decision. And so her ways are pleasantness. You'll feel good. You'll feel comfortable. You'll feel righteous. And her paths are peace. And oh, Lord, I think there are so many of us, Pastor, that would just love to relax our neck and shoulders and imagine peace, true peace. And she is a tree mm-hmm. of life to them that lay hold upon her, a tree of life. I love that. Trees have fruit. And I think of what better fruit than life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy, happy is everyone that retaineth her. So, sounds like it's pretty pretty powerful and something we all should desire.
And also consider how different that is from the world's standards. You know, we think happy means I got my stuff. You know, I got more than somebody else got, and I'm going to go out and enjoy it, so I'm happy. What this just said is if you've got understanding, if you have God's wisdom in your heart where you can grasp what God is trying to do in your life and in the lives of others, and you know, maybe you can make sound decisions that will honor God and bless people and make you a strong soul winner, then you've got this happy joy, peace that comes into play. If you have understanding, you're retaining understanding, happy are you. That's a very different mindset when you think about it. This is not the world's way of thinking. This is what God would do in our lives. You know, verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens." So it's by the wisdom of God that he brings where we live together, where we breathe together, where we serve him together. The heavens above us are established by him. So there's the order to the universe that is quite amazing. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up. In other words, the oceans come up. The waters and the rivers that are beneath the earth break up and come out. He says, and the clouds drop down the dew. All of what we refer to as nature, all the weather systems and patterns, they're fascinating. I mean, if you just look at a map of the moisture that moves around this earth, it would amaze you of the amazement, the variety of movement that's constantly taking place. Many people don't realize this, but within the ocean, there are rivers. We think of rivers as being something that's sort of land-based, but there are rivers below ground, current flowing beneath the surface, mm-hmm. and even coming breaking through the rocks of the mountains, coming out that very fresh water. But even within the body of the ocean, there are currents, rivers that move about. And an ocean liner coming across that connects with one of those can make better time going a particular direction if they get caught up into that current. We track them. We use them for our advantage. All these things, God in his understanding, his wisdom, establish and maintenance and keep out there working. Verse 21 said, "My son, let not them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." In other words, don't try to do stuff in our own strength. Know that God is at work and look for how he is working in our lives. And then he can do these incredible things and give us peace about it. You know, if you choose not to trust God, then you're going to have to choose to worry an awful lot. Because sometimes you're going to be wondering, will strangers do what they promised to do? And will people come together, and can you really count on them? You know, one of the hardest decisions for people in law enforcement is a partner. I mean, that may seem a little odd, but, you know, if you're looking at a patrol car and there's two people in that patrol car, each day they trust the other person with their life, knowing that at the right moment I'll be able to count on them to back me up, to keep me alive, to shout out that something's about to happen, or to, you know, intercede on my behalf. That relationship is incredible. The trust that has to be there. Soldiers moving along have to be able to trust each other, or their lives are in jeopardy. And what we're seeing right here is either we choose to trust God and know that He is watching out and preparing and putting those resources in our lives, or we run in our own strength. I like verse 22, "So shall thy life be unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Because if we don't trust Him, our neck will constantly be stressed with just tension and fear and wonder, as opposed to peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people incredibly stressed, and invariably you can see the muscles and spasming in their neck for all the tension they're carrying, versus the person who has genuinely learned to honor and trust God, and they just seem, no matter what they're dealing with, there's a level of relaxation there. It's this idea of, yes, I know how bad things are. Yes, I'm perfectly aware. But are you unaware that God is working in this moment? See, that's the difference. And that's what verses 21 and 22 is telling us. We can have this trust that just is absolutely incredible. Now, there's instruction that comes along with this that guides us, that keeps us out of trouble, and there's some warnings. And that's what we really have there in verses 23 through 26. And Jim, would you walk us through those verses?
"Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." You know, Pastor, while you were explaining how the neck and shoulders, the tension that we all go through, and I think of many of us wear night guards on our teeth because we grind our teeth at night. I wonder how much of that, instead of buying a tooth guard or a night guard, whatever they call that, instead of buying that, we could get into the Word and learn how to quit trying to do it in our own strength. And I find myself doing that, Pastor. I find myself trying to remember, why are you worried? God's going to take care of you. And starting to listen to the Scripture and then fall asleep. And the next morning I go, wow, I had a great night's sleep. And by the way, I don't have one of those night guards, but I know somebody who does.
Oh, okay. No, well, being a Baptist pastor, I don't get one of those night guards. They just give me a chicken leg to chew on during the night, and that does just fine.
I see.
But that's it, yeah. But you're right. As you're reading that, you know what was running through my mind was Psalm 23. It's sort of funny that it starts on verse 23 here. Think about it again. "Shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, not be afraid. You know, your rest will be sweet." And I was thinking about, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures."
Yeah.
"He restoreth my soul." You know, I just could see the comparison once again. And it always amazes me whenever I read Psalm 23 or just even think about it, that He has to make us to lie down. Because, why? Because we just keep wanting to get up and do one more thing. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. I got to go do
it.
And God is standing there, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. "Sit down, son. Lay down. Rest." You know, don't you think we can trust the Creator that it'll get done? And won't we do it better if we're rested than if we're struggling? And think about where He's asking us to lie down. In green pastures. He's restoring my soul. He's putting us beside still waters. And I love it. In the midst of our enemies, what does He do? He lays us out a big old table spread and lets us have dinner. You know, that's amazing. to me. And that's what you got here. Be not afraid of sudden fear of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh in the presence of my enemies. That's where he's going to take care of me and spread food out. You know, you don't normally sit there casually and let's have a nice dinner when the enemy is right at your door. No. But he's saying, fear not. Stretch out. Relax. Here, I've got your good spread food here. Relax. Calm down. Have a good meal. Why? Because the Lord shall be your confidence. He's going to keep your foot from being taken. Don't worry about it. I mean, that is a whole different way of thinking than what this crazy, wondrous world has to offer to us. And he goes on, verse 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do it. You say, well, isn't that obvious? It's obvious, but it's not done, okay? How often have you worked with somebody who could have blessed you, who could have taken the pressure off financially, and instead they keep you tied up in knots? How many times have husbands and wives not honored each other, not shown respect to each other, not been godly partners to each other, and when they could have blessed and encouraged, they discouraged, they went after that person's self-image and made it so much harder? You know, I was reading something from a man, I apologize, I can't think of his name right now, but Jewish heritage, and he said one of the things that he did each morning and evening is that he and his wife and his children read the scriptures together. And then he said this, and this is the part that really stayed with me. He said, every day he prays a blessing over each one of his children. And I thought, now, that is a father who's got it together. You say, withhold not good from them to whom it's due. They're your children. You love them. Why not pray a blessing over them? Give the good into their life, the better into their life. Give God's power into them. When it's in your power, your high to do it, isn't it in your hand, parents, to bless your children? You know, you may say, I don't have a ton of money. That's not what we're talking about. We're praying to let God work in their hearts and minds. Think what that child will face life with, knowing that each and every day, the person in their life that matters so much, their parents, lay their hands on them and bless them and encourage them each and every day, kept them before the throne of God. Verse 28, say not unto your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I'll give you when thou hast it by thee. In other words, tomorrow I'll give you something, not tonight. Go back. Go away. It reminds me, Dr. Noel Smith of the Baptist Bible Fellowship, great, great man of God, incredible writer. He was a newspaper person by nature, but a powerful preacher. And I love a line he said one time that's always stuck with me. He said, you know, if during the Depression you could eat a God bless you, he'd have been a fat man. Yeah, think about what he just said there. In other words, when times were tough, you know, he got a lot of God bless you, Pastor, God bless you, but he never got money or chickens or stew or anything. You know, and that's what he's saying. You know, if I could have eaten a God bless you, I'd have been a fat man in the Depression. If it's in our power to bless, bless. Don't just give to God bless yous and go on. You know, that's what, it's funny. There's also a verse like this in the New Testament where he says, you know, go and be filled and be blessed, but don't give them anything. No, that's not what we're to do. And he's saying here, don't tell your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow, I'll give you some. If it's in your power, by the way, that's a pretty important element to these two verses. Because I know people who create financial stress in their own lives and that of their families, giving when they just don't have anything left to give. And this is not what these verses are saying. What these verses are saying is that if God has given you the resources, don't be afraid to use those resources. Now, if for some reason not, then it could be that you need to build it up and be ready for something that's coming into your life. Be aware of that. Mm-hmm. Have wisdom. It's what we've been talking about this whole evening. Wisdom, so powerful. So, something we need to know and carry with us from these verses is to know that God's correction for us is done in love. He's not a big bully. God is not a bully. Sometimes people talk about him like you think he is, but he's not. What he does in our lives that seem difficult to understand or grasp is because he loves us, he knows us best, and he knows what's coming in our lives. He's just trying to get us prepared for it and keep us ready for it. We need to know that obedience to God has blessings tied to it. He's trying to get us where he can work in our lives and use us to his glory. How can that not be a blessing to be used of God to touch other lives? Just to honor him, to fellowship with him, to be closer to him. And to know that faith can be practical. It's not for show. It's not to so I can stand up and say, I'm a man of faith, and honor me. No, that's nonsense. People of great faith that I've known have never been one to get on a platform and talk about it. Other people talk about it because they can't help but notice it. But they don't, because they're growing their faith. They're using their faith. They're too busy honoring God than to be honoring themselves. The pride is not an issue when you walk by faith and not by sight. Jim, to me this has just been a great study, a wonderful study, but tell me, how can our listeners get in touch with us or ask their questions if they need to?
Well, there's two ways. You can call us at 866-275-4472, select option one, leave your question. If you'd like to leave your first name, or you know, you don't have to, but we answer all of those. We'll respond to your question. Or you can email us at ask@askthepastornow.com. And Pastor, do we have just a couple of seconds I can walk someone through the plan of salvation?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. There may be somebody out there right now who says, my life is coming apart. I want to know how I can be saved. How can I be a Christ follower? And we'd refer you to that website, askthepastornow.com, and you'll find these verses. And this is what the pastor has taught us. It's not what I think or what it's always taking us back to the scriptures. So here's what Romans chapter 10, you'll find it on our website, says on how can I get saved. Chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's stepping out in faith. It's admitting, I have sinned against you, God. I am sorry. I want to turn from that sin. I want to do 180 and repent. And I want to accept Christ. Now, this is a gift that we can't earn. You can't do anything. And the great news is, once you step out in faith, if you're sincere and you admit that you have sinned against God and there is no way to make that up except through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's why it says that if you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not your own work, it's what Jesus did on the cross. So we would recommend that you go to Romans, and then let us know. Send us an email and say, hey, I accepted Christ tonight, and that's ask@askthepastornow.com. Just send us an email. Let us know that tonight eternity has been determined by you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. And I do encourage our listeners to do that, make that decision, send us an email or call the number and let us know. And really look forward, Lord willing, if he delays his return, calling us to be with him, we're back next week, that you'd be with us as well on Ask the Pastor Now. Thank you so much. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Pastor. Thank you for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.